is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this beautiful passage of Scripture. I thank you, Father, for all that you're going to about to do in this service. Minister to each and every one of our hearts that this psalm gives us. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Now, this particular psalm is a favorite passage of Scripture for many people. It has been called the Psalm of the Crook, as it lies between the Psalm of the Cross and the Psalm of the Crown. Psalm 27 tells us of the good shepherd who died for the sheep. The 24th Psalm speaks of the chief shepherd who is coming again, and the 23rd Psalm speaks of the great shepherd who lives for and takes care of his flock. Now, I have preached and I have spoken on this psalm several times, but I have yet to scratch the surface of all that it contains. Now, it is an Old Testament song that is so sweet that none who ever read its words are not moved by it. It blesses the saints. It comforts the sorrowing and strengthens the believer's faith as the day of their departure draws nigh. These words were given to David by God himself and first sung by this sweet psalmist of Israel who had suffered much, had gone through many trials, and yet was known for trusting the Lord of whom he sings about. Some would imagine that David sang these words as he strummed his harp on the Judean hills, tending to his father's flock in the days of his youth. I tend to believe David was much older. And as he looked back on his life and all that he went through, he could relate what he was writing about in verse 6 of our text, where it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Now, although this psalm is 3,000 years old, it is as fresh today as when it was first given, and the shepherd's care for his own is still valid today as it was in the days of David. The Lord is my shepherd. It is quite remarkable that our great Lord and Savior compares himself to a shepherd as he sets forth his love and his care for his own people. Now, David himself was a keeper of the sheep, so he understands both the needs of the sheep and many cares of the shepherd. In this psalm, David likens himself to a sheep, an animal that is weak, defenseless, and foolish, and in need of a shepherd who is able to lead, to provide, and to protect him. No one has the right to claim the Lord as their shepherd unless they are part of his flock and possess the nature of the sheep. Those who are lost, according to the word of God, have the nature of goats, pigs, and dogs. Those who believe that the good shepherd gave his life for the sheep and enter into his flock by he who is the door, know his voice, and they follow him. Now, the good shepherd's sheep belong to him, and he paid an enormous price for his flock. My fellow saints, it would do us all well to understand what David did, and that is we belong to Jesus, and he bought us, and he purchased us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, we read this: "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Now, David in his statement says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, notice there is no if, nor but, or maybe, not even a hope so. He, like all sheep, ought to know that they belong to the shepherd and that they are dependent upon him. Notice the word my in that statement. David's saying, if the Lord is a shepherd to no one else, I'm telling you what, he is definitely a shepherd to me. You see, he cares for me. He watches over me. He leads me where he wants me to go. Now, those first five words of this psalm is in the present tense, meaning we who know the Lord as our shepherd are presently under his care. Verse 1 finishes with the statement, I shall not want. You see, when the Lord is our shepherd, he is capable and willing to supply all our needs. We shall not lack for food and clothing. Does he not feed the ravens? Does he not cause the lilies to grow and clothe them with more beauty than the robes that Solomon wore? Shall we lack for spiritual things when we have the Spirit of God within us, his word before us, and our prayers being offered up, and his good and perfect gifts coming down from heaven above? We may not possess all that we wish, but we shall not want. Now, some others may be wealthier, have it better off financially than we do, but with the Lord as our shepherd, we shall not want. Psalm 34, verse 10 tells us, sheep, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. It doesn't say, I do not want. It says, I shall not want. Old age shall not bring us any lack. Death shall not find us destitute. We have all things that abound, not because we got a large bank account, not because of our wisdom or skill in finances. It's simply because the Lord is our shepherd. Our shepherd makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. Now, hungry sheep will not lie down, but our shepherd will bring us to places where we find that the grass is long enough for us to lie down and enjoy a feast. So many a person tries to satisfy their hunger with the husks that the swine do eat. They are restless and they are unsatisfied and find themselves in a land that is barren and famine stricken. But not so with the sheep that follows the shepherd's leading. He will bring them to lush pasture land and rivers of pleasure. The best shepherd cannot bring a flock to rest unless they follow him. As sheep, we cannot afford to get ahead of the shepherd, nor can we afford to lag behind, nor can we go astray in our own self-will, for it is then we lose our rest as we substitute our plans for his. He leads us by his word. And as his sheep, we need to hear and heed his voice. We need to find his will for us. And when we do his will, we'll find it good, we'll find it acceptable, and we'll find it perfect just for us. Listen to his voice. Follow him. For his word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. It is food for the inner man. And Isaiah 49 verse 10 makes this promise to the Lord's own. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. Now, two pronouns of he and me are profound in the phrase, he leadeth me. This was David's testimony. And there's no reason that same testimony cannot be ours today. He leads us, and we are to follow him. We are to keep our eyes on Jesus. Don't we need his guidance? Don't we need his direction? If we are his sheep and we are to be satisfied, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. He does not drive us, but we are to follow him wherever he wants us to go. He restoreth my soul. David's soul knew great sorrow. At times it was sinful. It knew weakness. It even became cast down. Yet it was the Lord who revived his soul, cleansed him of his sin, strengthened his soul, and brought him his joy back. There are many sheep in his flock who can't let go of some sorrow in the past that they have faced. Others regard sin in their life, and they do not confess it and forsake it. Then there are those who are weak and about to faint. They are about to quit the race that is set before them. And some even have their souls in the dust. Can I tell you? Look to the Good Shepherd. He can turn your sorrow into joy. He is able to cleanse you from your sin. He is a source of your strength. He will lift you up. He will restore your soul. He'll put your feet on solid ground. He'll clean you up. He will tune you up. And what he did for David, he is capable of doing for you. David goes on to say, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. As his sheep, we ought to love our shepherd who first loved us and gave himself for us. Our love for him will cause us to delight in our obedience to him, and we will find that his commandments are not grievous. We will not obey some commandments and neglect others, but we will be faithful to all of them. Observe, if you will, its paths of righteousness, not just a single path. Wherever he leads, whatever he says, we ought to follow him. And when we do, we will love him as we should. As we look back on our life as sheep, has not our good shepherd led us in paths of blessings, in paths of peace and plenty, in paths of prayer and his promises, in paths of power as he has done great and mighty things on our behalf, and in paths of progress, and not keeping us in a certain place, but moving us along as we grow spiritually. Listen, if we are a people for his namesake, we should be walking in the narrow way of righteousness and be a holy people that honors his name. If we love him as we should, we will live for him as we ought. His name is found throughout this psalm. He is Jehovah Rahi, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, for I shall not want. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace, for he leadeth me beside still waters. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth, for he restoreth my soul. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, for he leadeth in paths of righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, for thou art with me. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my banner, for he takes care of us in the presence of our enemies. With all these names, there is no reason any sheep of his should so live as to bring shame to that wonderful name. David, knowing that life is but a vapor, that there is but a step between life and death, writes this: yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. These words have been used to help brighten many who have entered into the valley, the dark valley of the shadow of death. Now, to walk indicates a steady advance, an advance that one who's going through there knows where they're going to end up. They resolve to follow on, feeling quite safe. They are perfectly calm and composed. They do not run as if they are alarmed, nor do they stand still, not wanting to go any further. They will walk through the valley of the shadow of death because they know it only leads to the Father's house. Yes, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's not the valley of death, but the valley of the shadow of death. Now, when there is a shadow, there must be light somewhere. And as we go through this valley, death stands by the side of the highway in which we must enter. But it's the light of heaven shining upon death that throws a shadow across our path. But heaven is where we will arrive. So with that, David goes on to write, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He does not say that there shall not be any evil. He says, I will fear no evil. And his presence ought to be enough for any believer's fear to be diminished. We have perfect comfort, perfect security, come what may. Ask yourself, has he ever failed us in any previous crisis? Has he not been with us and seen us through other difficult trials and adversities? Over and over again, he has proved his care and concern for his own as he's seen us through one trial after another. So let's have some confidence in Christ's presence with us and his perfect love for us, and see if we don't find in him our refuge and our strength. That he'll be there. That he'll be a present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we should not fear. It does us good to say, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. But it is far better to say, I will trust in thee and not be afraid. Storms may come upon us. Enemies may attack us. Temptations and trials may abound. But because he has promised to never leave us, nor forsake us, fear should not beset us. Verse 4 continues, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Now the rod of the shepherd stood as a symbol for his strength, power, and his authority in any situation his sheep would be encountered with. He would use it to safeguard the sheep, as well as use it to discipline and correct any sheep who had strayed. Believers, our shepherd said this about himself in Matthew 28:18. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. While he tread the earth in the days of his flesh, he had power to forgive sins. The word he spoke was with power. He had power over demons. Power to heal, power to lay down his life, and power to take it up again. And we are forever kept by him. And because we are, that means we are well kept. In John 10:28, he tells us, and I give unto them, speaking of his sheep, eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We should find comfort that he's powerful enough to protect us from the enemy and keep us for time and eternity. But also, we ought to thank him for the chastisement he brings us when we go astray. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 and 6, it tells us this, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, his chasing of the sheep is simply evidence that we belong to him. It is a demonstration of his love for us. You know, when I was growing up, one thing I knew is I belonged to my dad. You say, how did you know that? Was it the name that you bore? No. He chastised me, and he chastised me often. And you know, by that, he showed his love to me. You know, I never thought that he was unkind, that he was mean. He simply disciplined me so that I would do right. And thank God I had a father who was willing to take the time and do so. I have read that a shepherd will hold his staff against the side of the sheep simply so that they are in touch with one another. Then they walk together and they revel in close personal contact. You see, our shepherd loves to fellowship with us, make each one of us the object of his special attention. as believers, our Christian lives are more than just subscribing to certain doctrines or believing certain biblical facts. It is to be one of walking in the light as He is in the light and having sweet communion one with another. Verse 5 reads, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Now, every godly believer will have their enemies. For the godly shall suffer what? Persecution. Perhaps if you don't have enemies, maybe you're not like your Lord as you ought to be. You see, if one is without enemies, they ought to fear they are not a friend of God. And they are more of a friend with the world than they are with the Lord. Yet the indication here seems to be that we are more than sheep. We are guests at the Lord's table, and He has prepared a feast for us. Now, nothing is done in a hurry. There is no disturbance or distraction, even though the enemy is at the door. We simply sit down. We enjoy God's best in perfect peace. As sheep, our Lord bids us unto a feast. Not a funeral, but a feast. He tells us to eat and to drink abundantly as He brings us into a banquet. Many a time in David's life, he ate his food in quietness while Saul's hostile bands tried to find him. Yet they could not cut off the supplies that came hourly from above. Oh, our shepherd goes before us. He provides us what we need, even in the presence of our enemies. As being part of his flock, it is said that he anoints our head with oil. Sheep are easily annoyed. They're annoyed by flies. It causes them great irritation. And I've read about some sheep who start taking their heads and butting it against rocks, and some will even jump over a cliff because they're so annoyed because of those pests that just cause them irritation. They'll do whatever it takes to get relief. Well, a good shepherd will put a mixture of oil, sulfur, and tar upon their head. And when he does, there's an immediate change in their behavior. How often does little irritations in our life ruin how we should behave? And at times it leads to disgraceful act of frustration on our part. Now the cure for those things that bug us is to have a fresh anointing of God's Spirit. For He can help us display the attitudes we are to have. He makes it possible for us to react properly to aggravation and to annoyances that come our way. When we are tempted to lose control, we best be controlled by Him. He is able to keep us from letting our tempers get the best of us, from our tongues saying things we should not say, from our frustrations boiling over, and being so irritable, which seems to mar the testimony of so many of the Lord's sheep. My, how we need the fullness of the Spirit of God. Yes, as his sheep, we should say, "My cup runneth over." I hope you come to the place where you who are saved can say, "What, all this and Jesus too?" You see, he came to give life, life more abundantly. I'll tell you something, it's good to be saved. It's good to have your sins forgiven. It's good to be on your way to heaven. That's enough to fill anybody's cup. But we ought to have our cups overflowing with joy unspeakable, a peace that passeth all understanding, and to know what it is to be blessed beyond all measure. There are times when God is so good to me, I pinch myself just to make sure it's real. Following closely to our shepherd is by far the best life one can live. For then we'll know by experience the truth of "my cup runneth over." This psalm concludes with, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I believe David, when he wrote this, is up in years now. And as he looks back over his life and recalls the tough times, the difficulties, the trials that he faced, he simply looks back and he recognizes God's goodness and mercy. He remembers the Savior's care, his guidance, his protection and provision. How the Lord saw him through every circumstance that he had gone through, and he is certain that it was due to the Lord's goodness and mercy that was granted unto him. I believe we could all say the same thing. And then David looks ahead. He says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Heaven is a house. Jesus referred to it as my Father's house with many mansions. But we who are sheep should not simply look at it as a future place where we will abide. For David also wrote this in Psalm 27, verse 4. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple." You say, so what is the house of the Lord? Well, certainly the church is. Certainly our body is. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. But would it not include God's presence? Remember, there was a guy that ran away from home, from his brother who was about to kill him. His name was Jacob. And he came to Luz. And there appeared to him a ladder that went from heaven to earth with angels ascending and descending upon it. And what did Jacob say? This is none other but what? The house of the Lord. And he changed the name of that place to Bethel. So always and everywhere, may we as a sheep find our dwelling place in him. You see, we should be so at home with the Lord now that when we go to be with him or he comes to get us, we simply move up to the second floor. This psalm will never wear out. It is always fresh. It never ceases to bless the sheep of his pasture. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.